Let's open up our Bibles to where? John. Y'all should have said John. Let's try it again. Open up your Bibles to
John.
Let's try that again. Open up your Bibles to
John.
One more time, because Peter said one more time. Open up your Bibles to
John.
See, that was the best time, Peter. Yes. See, you're led of the Spirit. So John chapter 3, and let's start at, what? Okay, I'm sorry. John chapter 3, verse 22. Let's start at verse 22. And after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptizing. Now John also was baptizing near Arnon, near Salmon, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, that means look, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. Now, that's where we stopped last week. And we said that there's people in the church that will like to stir stuff up. Amen. I said, there's people in the church like to stir stuff up.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, I know that's not you. See, that is not tolerated at Hope, because we can't tolerate that. Yeah, I've been noticing, Pastor. Nobody asked me what color we're going to paint, you know, the outside. Yeah, you're right. Nobody did ask you the color. You know why? Because I don't want to know your opinion on that. Well, you, whoa, Jackson. That's what I'm talking about. That attitude. No. I love you, but I'm just not looking. Listen, I when Tamara and I first got here, We saw too many ridiculous. Matter of fact, one of the first fights, biggest fights in the world. It's a true story. We didn't have two nickels to rub together. I was bivocational. We didn't buy anything. Not one ream of paper. Not any paper clips in the first year. Nothing. And at the end of the year, just paying our gas and electric bill, and a small little stipend to me, you know what? We were $10,000 in the red. And so, I tell you that because we had a mess on our hands. We had doors that were falling apart, falling off the hinges. We had stinky carpet. We had a mess. And listen, I don't mean any disrespect to those who went before me. Because let me tell you what. They built this building. Every bathroom that you enjoy, that kitchen that you enjoy, this sanctuary that you enjoy, you know what? Well, the sanctuary wasn't here, but the building was here. Everything that we have enjoyed since Tamara and I have been here has been because people were gracious and they sacrificed, you know what, before we got here.
Amen.
Let's say a bigger amen than that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But it didn't change the fact, you know what, at this pace, you know what, we're going to have to shut this thing down we had about 1 year left. Pastor, what did you do?
I just prayed. That's what I did. I said, God, I'm preaching as good as I can preach. You know what I mean? Help us. And the second year I was here, we were at the end of the year, we were like $38 in the black. Amen. And we have never been in the red from that moment on. Never. I won't say never. At the end of the year, we were never in the red. Does that make sense? That sometimes we came up in October, and I'd look at, you know what, the you know, people, and I'd say, hey, man, we ain't buying nothing for the next 3 months. You know, but here's what I'm telling. Why are I telling you this? A couple reasons. One, I want you to understand there is a spirit of responsibility and accountability and stewardship here at your church. Amen. 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 Okay. But let me tell you what the church isn't going to. We can't grow the church if the same spirit that's at your work is at church. How many live in workplaces and you know, or how many work at workplaces and you know what, and the cook's gossiping about the waitress is gossiping, you know what I mean, this guy is gossiping about that guy, you know what, you know, just a mess. How many can relate to what I'm saying? Okay, and Tamara and I decided a long time ago, that is not going to be, we are not going to attract anyone with that kind of jive. And so we did some strategic things to change that. And one of the things that we did to change it is we stopped asking baby immature gossipers to be part of the leadership. I don't care how long you've been going to church. Do you hear the attitude that I say that with? I hope you caught the attitude. I don't care. Because what I found out is, you know what, Peter might be more mature than you are. Don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. Amen. And somebody who might just be not saved for that long, you know what, might be running way ahead of you. Jackson? All right. And listen, let me be clear on this, because I don't want to come off in a cocky, arrogant way. But I do want to come off in a, we chased that devil out 20 years ago, and we will not let that devil come back in. Does that make sense? We chased that devil out, and we will not let that devil come back in. It just ain't going to happen. Okay. But I don't mean any disrespect. I just mean that, you know what, so one of the biggest fight, you know, first major thing. You know what it was? We, the paint, the whole church needed to be repainted. And the first big brouhaha was, watch this, not in the nursery, not in the preschool, not in the elementary kids, not in the junior high, not in the high school, but in the leadership, in the elders, as they were fighting over what color we should paint the building. And this is a true story. I walked out totally disgusted with the carnality and the behavior. And my sister followed me, and she told me, this true story, she told me, Drew, that wasn't that bad. And then she started telling me stories in the past where people almost got in fist fights. And I'm thinking, she's telling me this, I'm thinking, is this supposed to be encouraging to me? Because this is not encouraging me at all. Okay. So
so Pastor, what do? We pick people who are humble. Well, who do we, you know what? You know, I mean, did you notice when you first came in? We didn't strap a bass on you and say, hey, get on up here and play bass today. Did you notice we didn't do that? Did you notice? Hey, how many know everybody can sing? But not everybody deserves a mic. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Praise the Lord, amen. Hey, can we get real today? I remember one time, it was, you know what, I mean, bless, and you know what, and she's not here. I know who it is. You have no idea who I'm going to talk to, so don't try to figure it out. She don't even go to church here. But she was a gracious lady, and she was trying to do her best. And she asked Tamara and I, hey, Christmas is coming up. I'd like to have a Christmas tea. And we were thinking, you know what? I mean, we had our hands full. And we're like, but praise God, she was being gracious. And we said, absolutely, do a Christmas tea. I'll never forget. It was so shocking to me. And because we only had like 30 people if everybody showed up. And so she said, you know what, let's have a Christmas tea. I thought, you know, a woman's Christmas tea. I said, okay, praise the Lord. You tell me, I said, okay. So, you know what, I come down here. I think I was down here already, and just doing some work. Tamara was going to come a little later on, and so Tamara's at home still getting ready, and even like an hour before, I walk by, and there must have been 50 women there already. Come on. I called Tamara. I said, Tamara, you got to get down here quick, man. There is a bunch of ladies came to this Christmas tea, amen. Listen, you want to pack out, I'm just saying, you want to pack out your church. I know how to pack this church out. You know what? Have a women's Christmas tea. It'll be packed. I'm just telling you, it'll be packed. But bless her little creative heart. You know what I mean? You ever see those, they're making it out of crepe paper, and they make a little circle and they glue it, and then they make another little circle and they glue it, and then you ever see those? She had draped, and then she had this going on here and that going on here. It was the biggest hodgepodge mess you ever seen in the world. I mean, it just, and I thought, oh my, because let me tell you about Tamara. She got some talent, but she's got an eye for beauty. How many know where I'm going with this? Let me tell you about Tamara. She got an eye for beauty. She married me. You knew where I was going. Okay, some of you are like, whoa, okay. I'm just saying, but listen, you know what? She understands color. She understands this. She could make a lot of money if she wanted to do that for a living. I don't know if you know this. Auntie Norma, same way. She's got a great eye. I'm not saying that you don't. I'm just saying that just because somebody thinks they're seeing doesn't mean they sing. Bless the Lord. How many want to hear another story? So we had another lady in the church. I got to tell a ton of stories. So we had another lady in the church. Bless her self. and somebody, you know what worship was? Worship, we had the most fabulous worship because every service we had the most dynamic singers always singing with us. Like sometimes we'd have the Katinas. Is that their name? Sometimes the Katinas would sing with us. You know what I mean? Sometimes Third Day would sing with us. Sometimes Mercy Me would sing with us. I mean, every Sunday we had the top of the top. And here's why. Because we had no musicians, and we did have some singers, but we would just play the Katinas, we'd play Third Day, we'd play somebody, and we'd just act like they were our band, and we'd sing along to them. Amen. Okay? And that's what it was. Praise the Lord. By faith, you know what? I had a keyboard. I took it from home. I brought it here. By faith, we purchased some congas. We put them on the stage. Never forget this. Uncle Dickie, he's with the Lord now. Uncle Dickie, one time, he's coming Wednesday night. Wonderful, wonderful keyboard. I mean, just fabulous. I mean, this guy, older man, but this guy could jam. This guy was off the hook big time. He's so good. And he came up to me and he said, you know what, Pastor, why you got all those instruments? Nobody plays them. I said, well, somebody is going to play them. Listen, learn this, people. This is a separate note, but this is an important note. God's kingdom, that's how it works. Your imagination was given to you so you could imagine what God has placed in your spirit that could happen in your family, in your church, that you could imagine. See, when you all see this outside, you know what? You go, wow, man, we never seen this before. I've been seeing this for the last 3 years. Amen? That's what your imagination is for. And so, you know what? But bless the Lord. So we put that stuff up. Uncle Dickie said, what's this stuff there? I said, well, there's nobody playing it now, but they're coming. You think I've just been saying from the north, south, east, west, hundreds and thousands? You think that just happened this year? I've been saying that for a long time. And I said, they're coming, and the musicians are coming. And he said, well, I play the keyboard. And guess what? He played the keyboard. But before that, we had a lady, and she was a vocalist, and she had a pretty good voice. You know what? And she would sing with us. We had another lady come, and she said, she told this lady, she said, you know what? I don't know. Do you know I play the keyboard? And this lady got so, she was on the worship team. This lady got so excited. She said, you do? She said, yeah, I not only play the keyboard, I have a keyboard. She said, oh, could you bring it? Because we need a keyboard player. So she came up to me. After, she said, Pastor, there's this lady over here, and she plays keyboard, and it's going to be awesome. And I told her she could come and be part of the worship team. And blah, 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 blah. I said, you said what? Well, she said she plays keyboard, and we need a keyboard player. And I said, why did you do that? Well, because she said she played keyboard. I said, oh, okay, thank you. So, guess what? This lady came in to play keyboard. Do you know how to play chopsticks? I didn't ask her that. I'm asking you that, amen. Because chopsticks, well, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm telling you a real story. Because when she started playing, I was like, oh. See, because you know what? I don't want to hurt people's feelings. See? Just because you can sing doesn't mean you need to have a mic. Well, I'm going somewhere with this. So here's where I'm going. I'm saying that, you know what? I've asked certain people, hey, what do you think about this? Now, if you have an eye for beauty like my wife or like Auntie Norma, then you just be humble. And don't sit yourself. How many of the Bible says this? It says, when you come in, don't sit up in the front seat. Because somebody might pat you on the shoulder and say, hey, that ain't your seat. You know what? You need to sit somewhere else. What you want to do is just walk in humility and let somebody pat you. That's what Auntie Norma did. She never said, you know what, Pastor, I just want to let you know I can see things. I'm a decorator. I can see things. No, she never told us that. But in a course of time, we found out. She's very good. Very, very good. And you know what? And not only, how many know, listen, this is twofold. Not only do you need to be a good singer if we're going to ask you to sing, not only do you need to be a good keyboard player if we're going to ask you to play keyboards, but how many know that It's more than just being talented. See, here's why. Because God can't use somebody who's not humble. There's so many talented people. I'll just give you for instance, there's so many talented people that could be part of a worship team that I would never put them in part of a worship team. Never. Why? Because they don't walk in humility. Because you know what? If they don't get to sing that part, then they stir up a big junk. The reason why I pick Auntie Norma is because Auntie Norma is humble. And if she thinks, you know what I mean? Amen. How many know I got a good eye for beauty too? I'll give you another chance to say amen on that. I mean, I got a good eye for beauty too. I'm Mary Tamara, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly the truth. One time it's the pregnancy clinic in Whittier, and we went in. It's one of the ministries we support as a church, and we went in, and we had never been to their facility, and their facility was it wasn't elegant. It wasn't nice. You know what I mean? How many know people like nice? People like elegant. People just, okay. So we went in. It was a small place, but it was. Cameron said, you know what we should do? We ought to do, you know those shows where they redecorate everything, you know what I mean? We ought to come in here and have a makeover. We ought to, you know what? And so that's what we did. They were out Thursday. We were there. Some of you might have been part of this. We were there Thursday. We were there Friday. They were there Saturday. You know what? And then we parked the church van in front of it. And we got this on video. And we said, move that bus. And we moved the bus. And we they opened up the door. And we had decorated the whole thing. It was gorgeous. It was gorgeous. But Tamara was involved in that. Tamara had Tamara had come in and done some stuff, and Aline had come into the offices. And as soon as Aline came in and she saw some stuff, she looked at somebody and said, "Tamara's been here, huh?" Okay. But Auntie Norma has that spirit of humility. We don't just need talent. All the talent in the world doesn't help if you have pride. You can't use anybody like that. There's so many people that, you know what, well, I won't say it like that. There are people that you can't use, not because they're not talented, but because they're not humble. Does that make sense? Okay. So, and I bring this up specifically because, you know what, we're not going to have, listen, trust me, when we get done with the outdoor project, you know what? I was talking to Auntie Norma today, asking her some questions today. And Tamara said, you know what? Hey, call. This happened twice already this week. You know what I mean? She said, hey, call Auntie Norma. See if she can come down here right away. Auntie Norma came down right away. Same thing today. You know what I mean? But even Auntie Norma, she said, oh, Pastor Drew, this is going to be something when you get done with it. I said, yeah, when we get done with it. Because let me tell you about this outdoor project. It ain't a me and Tamara deal. It ain't me and Tamara and Auntie Norma. And whether you're asked to do this part, or whether you're asked to do that part, or whether you're asked to do this part, you know what? Your part is important. Amen. But what we can't do, you say, Pastor, but you seem to preach this last week. I know. But this is something that we need to be reminded of. Because how many know our flesh just wants to get, and all of a sudden you get all opinionated about all kinds of things, and the devil just stirs it up. I say all that to remind you what's happening in the text. These guys are trying to stir stuff up. Don't look at your neighbor and say, don't be a stirrer.
Don't be a stirrer.
Don't be a stirrer. You know what I mean? No, really, don't be a stirrer. You know what? Here's a deep revelation. If you can't say something nice, don't say it at all. And matter of fact, just the opposite. Watch this. There. So you love this about the church. You love this about the church. You love that about the church. You love this about the church. You love that about the church. You love this about the church. You know what? But this other thing over here you don't like. Well, do what the Bible says. Focus on all the good things. You say, Pastor, it sounds like you don't want to hear any criticism. El bingo, righty-o, Jackson. Amen. Now let me say this. Let me say this because I want everybody to hear this. If you have something that you say, you know what? Pastor, what if we did it something like this? I'm open to that. My door is wide open. But two things you better be ready to say before you say that to me. Because the truth is, so many great ideas. So many. Auntie Norma just did one today. You know what? We're going to have something this way. She said, you know what, Pastor, have you ever thought about having it this way? See the humility? Just humility. Have you ever thought about having it this way? I put it that way. I was like, oh, Auntie Norma, Tamara's going to love this. Show Tamara. She was like, oh, yeah, that's way better. Okay. But here's the thing. And I don't mind if you come up to me with a suggestion. But if you got a suggestion for me, two things. One, you can't come up to me with a suggestion and not want to be part. Hello? When we first got here, we had a mess. Because Tamara, we had no money. So we had to raise money, you know what? And so, let me go back to my paint story. You know what? The reason why, the reason why Tamara and I wanted it this certain color was because, one, it was a non-offensive color. I mean, you know, we're going to do stuff pretty much in neutrals because, you know what? How many remember some of the colors in the 70s? Yeah. Deuce neutrals. Yeah, green shag. You know what I mean? I mean, no. Okay. So, but here was the deal. Watch this. When Tamara was getting paint, she got it all donated from Don Edwards. And you know what they were upset about? They were upset about that we didn't paint the church, true story, blue. They wanted to paint the church blue, and they wanted to buy all the blue paint. Versus Tamara had a neutral color that was donated by Don Edwards. And guess how much that cost? Nothing. Okay, how many know this doesn't take a lot of genius to figure this one out, does it? But you know what they were upset about? They were upset because Tamara was, I'm telling you what, God, you know, God was so gracious to Tamara and I. They were upset because Tamara was making all kinds of decorating decisions without their authority. Well, let me tell you, Jackson, if you got your checkbook out, you know what? You go around and try to get all this stuff for free and put it in your van and then bring it down here. You know, oh, I'm sorry. I know I'm going to get this for free, but I can't be appreciative because I got to first ask the decorating committee what they think. How many of this is absolutely ridiculous? Pastor, what did you do? Oh, man, God was so... You know, the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and he'll give it to you. I said, God, what do I do? He said, oh, that's simple. Just go to all these geniuses and ask them to be part of the solution. Tell them, you can be part of the decorating committee. We meet Saturday at 8 o'clock in the morning. And bring your paint clothes because, you know what, you got to be part of the solution. And guess how many people showed up to the decorating committee? Okay. One lady showed up one time. I could show you some sweats of Tamara. It's a true story. I could show you sweats that Tamara had, and it was like, you know what, the, you know, Joseph's, you know, a coat of many colors. Why? Because she was down here. She's still working, you know what, does whatever she has to do to make it happen. Okay. But it's that spirit of humility that you can use. And listen, I'm open to all kinds of suggestions. But I'm not open to, I just won't qualify your suggestion unless you're A, willing to help. Okay? And B, have the maturity that I can tell you no. Amen? How many of there's a lot of good ideas that aren't good for us? How many of there's a lot of good ideas that right now we just, it doesn't fit our budget? Amen? How many of those others, some good ideas, I can't even tell you why the answer is no. Yeah. Oh, I'll let that sink in a little bit. Has anybody been in a position of leadership? And to protect someone else, you've got to just trust that this person is going to trust you because you're not going to throw that person under the bus. Right. I didn't mean to use you as an example, but I could do the same thing, you know, do it with anybody. Do you understand? No. I'm just going to believe the best in you that you're mature because I won't throw people under the bus. I don't even care if you're going to look bad at me. I still won't throw people under the bus because I can take your judgment, but I'm just not going to throw people under the bus. And so there's sometimes information I can't tell you. Does that make sense? Or is somebody learning something? Is somebody still glad they came today? How many of this is a training center? Amen? Well, Pastor, I think you ought to teach the word. I just did. Amen? So these people are trying to create this stuff. Look at your neighbor and say, don't take the bait. So they come, and notice this is so interesting. They're not even... They weren't even talking about this one subject. They were talking about some other subject. But by the time they get to John, they switch, and it's, hey, Jesus is baptizing more than you. Wow. I love John's response. See, learn to not take the bait. Sometimes in our marriages, you know what? Your spouse is just riled up just emotionally because, I don't know, something. And she will say something offensive to you, or he'll say something offensive to you, and you feel like you have to defend yourself. You feel like you have to qualify something. You feel like you have to push back. You don't have to do any of that. Amen?
That's right.
You say, Pastor, watch this. You know, but Pastor, they're wrong. Are they 100% wrong?
Nope.
Or are they 90% wrong? Or are they 80% wrong?
Yeah.
Or are they 70% wrong? My wife sometimes can tell me, you know what, something in a heated way, but she's right.
Amen.
What do I have to do? I have to have the maturity to recognize, you know what, well, she's right. You know what? Well, shouldn't you correct her?
No.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes, you know what? I mean, the Bible says wisdom cries out.
Right.
Sometimes the windows cries out and say, this is not the time.
Right.
Is this not true?
Yes.
You know, and so sometimes we think we're going to fight fire with fire. We just make a bigger fire.
Right.
No, you don't have to defend yourself. And you can recognize they're mostly wrong, but there's a little who's right that's right. Can you have the maturity to say, you know what? I see your point. Do you have the maturity to say, I see their point? How many know your spouse, you know, what do you think? They just wake up in the morning and say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to pick a fight with you today. No, that's not who they are. That's not what they're doing. That's not what they think. How many know sometimes it can seem that way? But see, a lot of that has to do with you. I'm not trying to be harsh, but I'm trying to be real. And the mature person can scratch their head and go, actually, I see your point. Can I teach you something?
Come on.
You can't see anybody's point if you're too busy seeing your point.
Oh,
I'm going to say all eyes up here. You got to see this. You can't see their point if you're too busy positioning yourself in your point. What you need to do is have maturity to just go like this. Are you ready? Ready? Just go like this. And then shut up and listen. And in about sometimes 30 seconds, it takes me. Sometimes it takes me longer, 5 minutes. But all of a sudden, this is a true story. Tamara and I have confessed this to you. We'll be in a fight. I know that's hard for any of you to believe. We'll be in a fight. We'll be in a fight. We'll be in a fight. And I'm thinking, she's just wrong. She's just wrong. She's just wrong. And then I'll hear the Holy Spirit say, she might be wrong, but why don't you come on over to this side? So I'm adamant. No, that's not how you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. We're fighting. And then I'll get up. I mean, not literally, but figuratively. I'll get up and I'll go like this. Huh. Wow. She's right. Watch this. And then that's figuratively. I'm still over here. And then I'll say, you know what, honey? You're right. And then she'll say, you're just saying that because you don't want to fight. Okay, and you throw your hands in the beer, I can't win for nothing. No, I don't do that. Because think about it, because that's what we do. Listen, that's not illogical. What she did wasn't illogical. I'm arguing for 15 minutes, and then in 1 second, I changed my mind. She's not illogical in saying that. So what do? I say, no, honey. I was thinking about it, and you were right.
Okay.
Now, listen, if I'm just doing that to appease her, then that's not right. I don't do that to appease her. But I've learned many times, I've been in the past too busy defending myself to even come on over here and look. And how many know if she does the same thing all the time, if couples would just, if I would come over here and look at it from her point of view, if she would come over here and look at it at my point of view, you know what? A lot of times we just laugh and go. But how many know we can just be so immature sometimes? Are you learning something? Now, I have a point to all this because that's what John the Baptist does. I'm not going to get in an argument with you guys. I'm not, you know what? Who, you know, he's like, okay, wait, you guys don't make any sense. You think I'm going to take this bait. No. Look what he says. Where am I? And they came, 26, and they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, look at this. They're trying to show, see? He is baptizing and all are coming to him.
Yeah.
Exclamation point. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You know, all these athletes that think they're all that in a bag of chips. Any singer thinks, all these singers think they're so talented. You know what? Any talent. Construction worker, business owner, whatever it is. You know what? You're not all that in a bag of chips. Well, you are, but you are because Jesus made you that way. He's the one who did, you know what? Give him the glory. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I told you guys this. Why are you thinking this is a big deal? I already told you. What? What did I already tell you? I am not the Christ. He's the man, not me. He is. But I have been sent before him. I was just prepared. Listen, I'm not the main act. I'm the warm-up band. That's what he was. He was preparing the people for what Christ. He was preparing hearts. to say, hey, get ready. Get spiritual. Get ready to receive something. Amen. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and bears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. He's saying, guys, I hear Jesus and I get excited. I don't care that he's baptizing. Of course. Doesn't make any difference. Therefore, this joy is mine, is fulfilled. Hey, you think you're going to stir me up thinking I'm going to get jealous? I'm not getting jealous. I'm getting happy. Because my part was to prepare people for the spirituality of Jesus Christ. I'm doing my part, and to some extent, God has used me to help, because obviously there's a spirituality and something's going on. And they're going all to him. Oh my goodness, that is exactly what I'm supposed to do. I think it was James Worthy, and when Magic Johnson first came to the Lakers, the NBA had the main stat was how many points can you score? And how many know you can score a lot of points and be on a losing team for a long time? One of Magic Johnson's main talents was that he was a great player, but one of his main attributes was that he made others around him better. So I don't know, some of you, because it's very common now, but back in the day they didn't even do this. So he would give what's called an assist is the pass before somebody else makes the basket. And so Magic Johnson created this culture that as they were coming down, somebody would pass it, somebody would make. And here's the thing. If you're a good basketball player, there's someone that is open that has an easy shot. Find that person, and your team's going to get really good. Well, that's what Magic created. And so he created this atmosphere. He was a wonderful passer. But he created an atmosphere that the main guy wasn't the guy who scored. The main guy was the guy who could find the guy who was open and who was selfless and said, I don't want to score. You're closer to the basket. I'm going to throw it to you and let you score. Well, after they'd score, they would run down the court and they would point. Whoever scored would not do this. He would point to the person that passed him the ball. That's what John the Baptist is doing. He's saying, no, 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 no. And that's what the author of this book is, that's what the Spirit is also doing in the text. He's saying, hey, whoa. If John was great, it was great because of God. And let me tell you the point. I heard this pastor, if I told you this pastor's name, every single one of you would know who the pastor's name was. And here's what he said. He said, heaven's going to be an interesting place. Because many times on this earth, we're talking about, you know what, how big is your ministry? How big is your ministry? How big is your church? How big is your ministry? He said, at heaven, when we get to heaven, nobody's going to be asking how big your church is. Everyone is going to be saying, thank God. Thank God that God in his grace allowed us to be part of Hope Community Church. Amen. You know what I mean? Thank God that, you know what, he allowed us to do whatever part you're asked to do. Nobody's, and you know what? You're all gonna be very grateful that God allowed you to be part of what he was doing on this earth. And all we're gonna do is we're all gonna be pointing to Jesus. Because we know he was the one. He's the one who's pass. He's the one who's giving us the ability. He's the one who's passing us the ball. You know what? If you can do something good, if you're a good electrician, if you're good a plumber, if you're good a singer, if you're a good wife, if you're a good husband, if you're a good a parent, if you're good, I don't care what you are, whatever good, you know what? If you got nice hair, then give God some glory. Amen. Oh, look at my hair. Oh my goodness. You ugly thing, you. Amen. Amen. You might have pretty hair, but you are ugly. Okay, that's probably not positive. Okay, sorry. Amen. But that is an ugly spirit, is it not? That's what I'm talking about. Because you know what? You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. He is not going to. He's going to set these guys straight. And the very thing. Watch this. The very thing that they're trying to do. Listen to me. The very thing that Satan is trying to do. Because how many know that's what Satan does? Stir stuff up. Don't let him stir you up. Don't let him stir you up. Make a decision. I can't be stirred. I'm not going to be stirred against, you know what, against anyone. Listen, even the crazy people that you work with. Did you learn anything today? How many got encouraged? Amen. Amen. How many like the color of the building? Amen. Well, I don't like the. Then find something you do like. Do you like the color of the chairs? Amen. Do you like the color of the? I don't like the color of nothing in here. Amen. Well, find something you like. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And focus on that. Amen. Because that is what is going to attract people to our church. Man, these people, I've never been around people like this. They just don't complain about nothing. Oh, man. That is music to God's ear. Let me tell you what. That is Hope Community Church. And that is, you know, let me tell you what, God is going to, you know, God's going to reward us. And one of the main things he's going to reward you for is proper attitudes. He's going to pat you on the back and say, you know what, so I thank God that you didn't allow, you know what you thought to just gum up something. You know, you just kept it for what it was. It's silly. When we say, I'm not saying this now, when we say every head bowed and every eyes closed. I'm not saying this now. I'm saying when I say it this Sunday. How many of you want to say it this Sunday? How many of you know every Sunday service, we want to make sure people have a chance to accept Jesus? How many of you know when I say that, nobody has ever stood up and said, Pastor, I'd really like to accept Jesus. But man, I got to tell you, you put the wrong color out there. They're never gonna say it, and they will never say it. Because that don't make no jack squat diddly difference in the kingdom of God. Well, that's good. Jack squat diddly difference. That's good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word illuminates that which is accurate. Help us to take this word and to apply it to our life. May the stronghold of a spirit of cooperation continue in this church. May Tamara and I and the leadership of this church have the boldness to continue to insist and not walk in fear. And Father, but walk in love and recognize how important this is. We thank you for your example. We thank you for John the Baptist who gave and did the right thing. And because of that, I can preach that word, that look and say, look what John, what an example he was to us. We thank you for his humility. He said, may this be our hearts. You know what? You need Christ to increase.
Amen.
And we need to decrease. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.